under consideration this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 59. Verses 19 through 21. What text did I say? Isaiah 59, verses 19 through 21. Say amen if you have it.
Well, that was a little weak. I'm going to give you a moment. That was a little weak.
Say amen if you have it. Now, that's a little better. So, the Bible reads this way: so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord. From henceforth and forever. We're going to spend a few moments under the subject of we can triumph over our trials because God has our back. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for everything that you have done for us, for the blessings you have poured out upon us, for putting food on our tables, Lord, and protected us as we traveled to and fro, keeping a roof over our head, giving us gainful employment. Lord, the list just go on and on. All we can say is thank you and praise your holy name. Now, we ask you this morning to come into our midst, Lord. I ask you to use me, mold me, shape me, hide me behind the shadow of the cross. And when it's all said and done, I'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we don't have to live a very long time in this world to begin to realize that life is not fair. All we have to do is look around at recent past and current events. Things are going on. All we hear about is devastation and chaos. And turmoil, and war, and oppression, terrorist attacks. And many of us sitting right here this morning have been touched by these things. We look at the news and we shudder when we look at the little malnutrition child on there who's no more than a skeleton covered with bones because of the starvation and diseases in the world. Right here in these yet-to-be-united states of America, we're still dealing with racism, abuse, and oppression. You don't have to take my word for it. All you got to do is turn on the news. Right here in this USA in 2016, a bigoted racist like the Republican candidate, I'm not going to even call his name, is this close to sitting in the Oval Office. Heaven hid none of his feelings. Outspoken about what he would do and who he will do it to. And you're not human if these things doesn't affect you. And then all of us have personal experience with tragedy and heartache. How many of us sitting right here has lost loved ones to disease and suffering? How many of us sitting right here this morning has lost loved ones to crime and drug abuse and violence? Many sitting right here this morning has lost every earthly possession they own. These things will devastate us spiritually, can devastate us spiritually. And the reason for that, because too many of us as God's people have a false and distorted sense of reality in regard to the Christian experience. See, too many of us believe because we've been sanctified and set apart for a holy and sacred purpose, because we are being saved by God's grace, that bad things are not supposed to happen to us. On yesterday, I stopped by our school. And Sister Ivy Jones introduced me to a little 5-year-old girl by the name of Lauren. And she asked me, she said, "Elder Landry, I want you to pray for her for healing." I said, "Oh, well, what's wrong?" She said, he said, "She had a stroke at 11 months old. And she's still struggling with the effects of it." Don't tell me bad things don't happen to good people. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is be born. Huh? See, and besides that, that mindset is not biblical. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and yet what? Full of trouble." Bad things happen to good people. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Bad things happen to good people. John the Baptist was beheaded to satisfy the whims of a wicked and evil woman. Bad things happen to good people. Jesus wasn't even exempt from bad things. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was tortured and killed. Sentenced to death by the very same people he came to save. Bad things happen to God. Jesus didn't do anything. The apostles were beaten, killed, tortured, and killed for preaching the gospel of Christ. See, the fact that you're a believer, the fact that you profess to be a child of God, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, has caused the enemy to put an even bigger target on your back. See, we are not exempt from the trials and troubles of this life because we are Christians. Scripture tells you that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not might suffer persecution, or maybe shall. In other words, you will. What do you think James was telling us when he said your adversary, the devil, is walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? You ever looked up that word, devour? Ain't nothing nice. But you have to understand, as a child of God, as heirs to the promise, as sinners being saved by grace, we are perpetually finding ourselves in one of three categories. We're coming out of something, we're about to go through something, or we're already going through something. The devil gonna see to that. Why? He wants to get you all discouraged and frustrated. Disappointed in the goodness of God. Get you to doubt God's word. So here's the thing. Instead of asking the question, why is this happening to me? Let's start asking the question, how do we get through whatever it is we're going through? And the answer to that is simple. We get through it the same way Job did, the same way Joseph did, the same way John the Baptist did, the same way Jesus did, the same way the apostles did. When the enemy comes in like a flood, know that the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Clear, plain, simple. He will come. God has set it up that way. But okay, so what does that mean? It means that when the vicissitudes of life with its ever-changing variables is coming down upon us, the most important thing for us to remember in those trying moments is that the God we serve can and will deliver us. It may not be the way you want it. See, where we mess up, we go to putting stipulations on it. You know, like the flood came. Well, why he let the water get in my house? But he spared your life. Why did I lose all my furniture? But somebody took you in. I worked with a guy, and he was fussing one day about the flood. And you know what? The Spirit correct. I didn't have to say a word. You know, he was just venting one day. He lived in Park Forest. He said he lost everything. Lost his car, truck, everything in his house, and he was just going on. But out the next breath, he's sitting there telling me what FEMA did and how God blessed him to get this truck and how he blessed him to get that car. And people were stepping up and donating furniture to him. He said, man, I just can't get everything back together fast enough. So you know, out of one side of his mouth, he's complaining. And out the other side of the mouth, he is espousing his blessing, and he don't even realize it. And that's the way we do sometimes. We want God to come on our terms to do it exactly the way we want him to do it. But that's not the way it works. Satan will get all up in your head when these bad things start happening to you and try to get you to believe that God has forsaken you. You're not good enough. You're messed up. Too sinful. That's why this is happening to you. He wants to turn your mind away from God, away from his word, away from his promises. You know, I was telling somebody, it's like, and maybe this is a bad analogy, but I'm going to use it, but you know, it's like when a terrorist go and place a bomb in a building. He wants it to go off where it's going to do the maximum destruction. Because he want to do as much carnage and damage as he possibly can. Well, think about Satan. Satan is doing the same thing. What he wants to do is distract us, disgust us, and frustrate us. Get you angry with God so he can keep you out there until there's no longer a sacrifice for sin. That's what he wants. Because when it is, then you'll destroy. You're lost, and he's happy. You ever heard that old term, misery love company? Well, he's most miserable because he know he's lost. And his objective is, I'm going to take as many as I can with me. But it don't have to go down like that. Look at the person next to you and say, we can triumph over our trial. God has our back. He does. He does. And you know, in our text, God gives us three promises that reassures us. I will go so far as to say that guarantees us that we can triumph over our trial. I don't care how dark or grim or hopeless the situation may appear, we can triumph over our trial. One. He has reinforced us with his spirit. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall, not might, maybe, if, shall lift up a standard against him. Okay, maybe that's not resonating. So what do we mean by standard? Well, the Greek word translated standard, protipo, means to drive the enemy or to put the enemy to flight, to impel, to cause to flee. It means that the Spirit of the Lord, regardless of what you may find yourself in, will come to your rescue. He will fight your battle with you and for you. In the vernacular of the hood, he will take up our cause. He will not let you be overwhelmed by the enemy. He will empower us to stand firm, to remain faithful in the face of adversity, which is difficult. But all of us, I know, then had something that shake our faith. Some years ago, my youngest brother, whom I love dearly, closed all our lives, was gunned down on the street corner in a drive-by shooting. Never did find out why. And I found myself questioning God. That I'd heard about so many other shootings where the people lived and made it through it, recovered from their wounds. And I found myself asking God, why? Why did you take him from me? Instead of asking the Lord, how do I get through this? And for a while, that thing rocked my world. Shook my faith. I'm not ashamed to tell you. Shook my faith. I was on the verge of asking myself, what's the point? And right behind that, my sister is taken down by domestic violence. And then the Lord had to show me the enemy has come in. Like a flood. But have no fear. The Spirit will rise up a standard against him. Satan was trying to find a way to shake me loose from God so he can get me out there and destroy me. So when you give your life to God, when you turn away from the wicked things and the evil things and the sinful things that you once enjoyed and participated in. Satan ain't happy about that. And he's not going to let you go like talking about. So what's the best way to cast doubt? Well, all you got to do is look at that Republican nominee. He behind in the polls, he losing. So what are you telling people? System rigged. Can't trust that. Been rigged for years. Never have been fair. Well, are you going to accept the results? Yes, if I win. Devil is trying to do the same thing to us with God. I want you to get to the point where you don't trust God's word. And see, if I could get you to the point where you don't trust God's word, I will eventually lead you to the point where you don't trust God. But I can tell you this much. You go back through the word of God, and you could find many, many, many examples and instances of where God's word has been fulfilled to the exact letter. God said his word will not return void unto him. We can trust God. We can take him at his word. So what does that mean? That means I can triumph over my trials. Now here's the thing. That doesn't mean that I won't go through trials and tribulations. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to have to experience some heartaches and hardships. That doesn't mean that sometimes I won't get a little frustrated and discouraged. But what it does mean, regardless of when it comes down on me, when the enemy comes up on me like a flood, I'm not going to give up on God. Why? Because I know help is coming. The Spirit of the Lord will rush in and lift up a standard against him. Just take a page out of Jesus' book. Get thee behind me. You know, I was talking to Elder Jones this morning. One of the things that biggest mistake we make as Christians, we don't understand or really realize the power that is available to us. At your fingertips, yours for the asking. Right there. That same power that called Lazarus out of the grave is available to you, to me. That same power that brought Jesus out of the tomb is available to you and to me. One of the most impressive things I ever read about that was, see, when Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb, he had to call him by name or everybody in the graveyard would have got up. That's power. That's power. And it's available to us, and we won't even tap into it. We tap into it conveniently when it suits us, when it doesn't interfere with our passions, desires, and appetites. I want to fit God in so it doesn't disturb my comfort zone. That's not the way it works. We sitting here sometimes wanting to be part-time Christians, but we're dealing with a full-time devil. But better yet, there's a full-time God available to us. If we just trust him and take him at his word. Trust him. That word standard means that the Spirit will step in your darkest hour and make them imps get on up out of there. They got to go. James says, submit yourself therefore to God. And it's interesting the way he starts that verse off. Because the end of the verse says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But he doesn't just say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. See, because by submitting ourselves to God, we are connected to the power. If you don't submit yourself, you can tell the devil to flee all you want. Remember what that demon said? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? But when I'm connected to Jesus, when I'm connected to the power, and I turn around and tell that rascal, get thee behind me, he understands that's not a request. He's got to go. See, and a flood is a fitting symbol here. But right now, I say Baton Rouge is an expert on floods. You talk about 80-some-odd thousand homes. We understand the devastation that a flood can bring upon a community. 80-some-odd thousand homes. See, the thing about it is, you know, it when we know it's happening, even though this one came up quick, fast, and in a hurry. One minute it was raining, next minute we were drowning. But folks still ran out there and got some sandbags and went, put them by the door, building little dams around their yard. And all that's well and good. But the thing is, if it keep on raining, the water's going to rise. See, the one thing about water, scientists say water will find the route of the least resistance. And one thing about water, if it can't run out, it goes up. But one day it's going to move regardless. And I don't care how many sandbags you got. I don't care how high your levees are. That water will rise high enough until it will get over, through, and around your defenses. Well, it works the same way spiritually. The enemy comes in like a flood with his attacks and his assaults on us. He wants us to feel depleted and defeated, hopeless and helpless. He will get over our spiritual sandbags, over and around and through our spiritual levees. He will infiltrate the very core and fabric of our being and wreak holy havoc on our lives. Gust you. I want you to get to the point where you will look God in the face and curse him. We get hooked up on that little pity party. Lord, haven't I done this? And I've been faithful. And I went and I served and I did. Why is this happening to me? Keep your focus there. He got you. He got you. Get your focus off of that. And get your focus on the God we serve. Trust the promise. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Oh, you coming? Well, guess what? The Spirit is going to lift up a standard against you on my behalf. Do like them little kids. Now. Now. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you take from me. I don't care how you destroy my stuff. You're not going to shake my faith in God. Because God has implemented a divine support system to help me triumph over my trial. God has my back. Not going to let you do that. You throw all the fiery darts at me, you won't. But what the thing is, I don't want to end up being my own worst enemy. Lord can't defend me because everything he built up to safeguard me, I'm tearing it down. And I can do that. Because see, one thing with God, and all the things, think about that. And everything and all the things that God can do, what he won't do is force you to serve. He'll plead with you. In some text you could look in there where you're almost begging us to wake up. But he will not force you to do his will. Serving the Lord puts it this way. She said, you know, there are many who are going to be lost. Not because they didn't believe the truth, but because they chose to believe a lie. Have mercy. Have mercy. So the Lord has given us, he's reinforced us with his Spirit. What else did he do? Look at verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn their transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Don't tell me we don't serve a great God. He has reinforced us with his Spirit to fight against the enemy. He has reinforced us with a Redeemer, not only to deliver us, to redeem us, but also to deliver us out of the hand of the enemy. See, that word Redeemer comes from the Greek word ga'al. It is the primitive root of redeem according to the law of kinship. And the Bible commentary says it is used in the context of an avenger, a deliverer, a purchaser, a revenger, or one who ransoms. And when we get this deep understanding of what redeem is all about, then we know we're not in this thing alone. The Lord has a system in place to safeguard our spiritual well-being. But we got to trust it. We got to trust it. I can educate you all you want, all I want. I can guide and direct, but it's up to you to follow. Old folks put it simple. They had a lot of wisdom with them old folks. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Amen? Now, but the thing we need to understand is it is only because of the redemptive work of Christ that we even have a shot at eternal life. Huh? Think about that. Christ stepped in and took our place. Christ died so we could live. You know, because of our Redeemer, we are no longer unrighteous, sinful, wretched in the eyes of the Lord. No, now we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. So now when the Lord turned his eyes upon us, now when he looks at us, he no longer see us as sinful wretches. Now when he looks at us, he sees the imputed and imparted righteousness of Christ. He sees us as children, his children, as heirs to the promise. Heirs to the promise. You think Satan is happy about that? No. God has put these things in place for our spiritual well-being. But now, there's one thing we tend to overlook a bit. It says the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Isn't that the way the text starts off? But the next thing it says, and to them who do what? Turn from their transgression. Oh. See, that's where we get in trouble. See, because that verse is very indicative of a relationship. And in spite of what you heard and what people may have told you, there's no such thing as a one-sided relationship. People might dupe you into believing that. I mean, by definition, if I just go by the definition alone, it's defined as the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people who are connected, the state of being connected, the way in which two or more people or organizations regard and behave toward each other. That's the definition. So if there's no mutual understanding, if there's no agreement, if there's no respect, if there's no reciprocation, if there's no give and take, there is no relationship. Simple as that. There is no relationship. Now, common sense will tell us, how can we expect God to have our backs if we are not in his word or his will? Now, I know people will say, God loves us just as we are. And I'm going to go on record this morning and let you know that's true. He does. That's grace. That's what grace is all about. We get that. But what we don't get, that God also loves us so too much and so much that he won't leave us that way. He doesn't want us to stay the same way he found us. If you are just like you were when you met and accepted Jesus, that means you have never accepted and tapped into the power that is available to you. Because that power can transform our mind, can transform our character, our thinking, our behavior. And here's the thing. Please don't miss this. This is not about behavior modification. This is about a spiritual transformation. And when we get that, then we understand how much we need that power. I cannot transform spiritually in and of myself. I don't have that power. It's not in me. Never have been. So unless I accept the Lord, unless I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, unless I allow him to fill me with the presence and power of the Holy Ghost, there will be no change in me. And I will go through life stumbling and bumbling and getting knocked off course by every which ever comes my way. But if I allow him to bless me with his Holy Spirit, no matter how many trials, no matter how many tribulations, regardless of the situation or the circumstance, I can be triumphant because God has my back. Hebrews 13:5 tells us he will never leave. It didn't say he will not leave us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So, you know, I present a question to you. One of them things that make you go, If we die in the Lord, are we really dead? We die in the Lord, are we really dead? The Bible says Lazarus was sleeping. Say Lazarus was sleeping. The thing I love about sleeping, you can wake me up. If I'm dead, call the truck, it's over. It's over. So why am I saying that? There's nothing that the enemy can take from you that God can't give back to you. He may shorten your time here, but he can't do nothing about you up there. Because God has your back. And then the next thing the Lord says, let's go to verse 21. Where he says, as for me, I think that's the way he phrases it. As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit, check out this promise now. I'm talking about the power that's available to us. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Notice how closely, how eerily similar the context of this verse is the context of Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if I had to put it in the vernacular of the hood, I'd say, God ain't going nowhere. Years ago, they used to have a thing in the church. You used to hear them say, if God seemed far away, you need to ask yourself, who moved? We can triumph over our trials. All of us have been through something. And you know what? If God allows us to stay here, we're going to go through something. but we will never go through it alone. Never, ever, ever go through it alone. God is with us. We can trust him. And with him, we can triumph over our trials. Because without a doubt, God has our back. I like the way David puts it, because I think David understood this better than most from his illustration in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because why? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David tapped into that power. He also declared, God is our refuge and our strength. You know, it's good to have family, friends, and loved ones we can rely on. But don't ever forget, there's one that's sticking closer than a brother. Huh? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And our strength. He will never forsake us. When we were sinners, God commended his love toward us. Oh yeah, he loves us like we are. But he loves us too much to leave us that way. And if you don't remember anything else, in those dark, trying moments, in that time when Satan is railing on your mind and you just can't seem to find that peace, take a page out the writers of Lamentations book, he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. God has been more faithful to us than we've ever been to him. And he's going to give us every opportunity. You know, Morris Vendor said it's hard to be lost. You got to find a way to let God know that you don't want him to save you, that you don't want him to bless you. And that's difficult to do, because every time you wake up in the morning, he blessed you. You take that next breath, he blessed you. That plate of food you took for granted is because he blessed you. That car you drive is because he blessed you. That job you own is because he blessed you. That education that you have is because he blessed you. And when we succeeded, when we were able to overcome the difficulties in our life, it wasn't because we were slick, skilled, or cunning. It was because the Lord's Spirit stepped in and lifted up a standard against the enemy and said, that's far enough. Don't come no further. You want to change? Let me rephrase that. Because we always talk about change. I'm going to ask this question. You want to experience God on another level? On a level you have never, ever even dreamed about? tap into the power. You ever thought about how people could be in jail, in chains, facing death, and singing hymns and having prayer service, praising the Lord before they were being thrown to the lion? They were able to do it because they took self out of the equation. So let's stop asking God, why is this happening to me? And let's start asking him, God, what is it you want me to see in this? What is your message? Because here's what I know for a fact. God will take your mess and turn it into your message to bless someone else. That's what God can do. That's what God will do. I'm going to ask Elder Wilson to come up. We're going to have prayer. For those who want to experience that power, as well as the little girl I told you about earlier, little Lauren, 5-year-old Lauren, who had a stroke at 11 months old. I'd asked Elder Wilson that too. I was just touched by this little girl yesterday. After I had prayer with her, you know, and I tried to go on about my daily routine and do things, I just couldn't shake that experience. And I think I had, Lord, how can an 11-year-old baby have a stroke? I just didn't get it. And then as I was sitting there last night, I realized I didn't have to get it. I needed to give it to him. So I'm going to ask you as a church to remember that name, Lauren, 5 years old. And every time you pray, lift her up, because God can heal that child. He's already blessed her. She had a stroke at 11 months. She's now 5 in school. But there's some lingering effects. And God can heal her. Do you believe in the power of healing? Do you believe God has the power to help us overcome? Do you believe that God has the power to get us through anything? I know he has. I look at some of many of you sitting right here right now, lost everything you own. And you sitting here, and by your faces, no one would ever know it. Because you had that comfort of knowing that God has your back.